What's up, Guardians? Welcome to episode 284 of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. As always, I am your host, Kit Kutcha, and I am here today with so much Bungie news to talk about. Holy crap. There's a lot to get through. We're going to be doing a little bit of a speed run on this one, trying to talk about the most important stuff, give some context, give some commentary, make sure that those folks who don't sit and read these monster twabs know the stuff that they need to know. Love to get some feedback from y'all on where you're at with the latest changes coming to the game. We got a big look at the Crucible in Season 19 in this episode, and that's going to be the main focus. I'm also going to go back and talk about some of the stuff they shared about ability changes that I think are important to add to the context of the Crucible conversation. So we'll get into all of that. First up, let's take some time for a little bit of gratitude. I'd like to extend a massive thank you to our sponsor, Guardians. These Guardians are patrons of Destiny Massive Breakdowns, of Podcasts versus Enemies, even of Beneath Twin Suns. Not that we gave them a lot of choice about that one. But they give on a truly, truly massive level, deserves a weekly shout out. Here we go. Thank you so much to This Moment, ZenzoCal, Binary Wolf, Black Hammer Tech, Impetus, Askian Monk, Sylve, Deacon, Starscream, and The Shazzle. I deeply appreciate your incredible generosity. Many of you have been sharing this generosity for a very, very long time. And I can't say enough how much it has meant to me and to my family over the years, having this this level of support for the show. It's been incredible. It's been there at times when finances haven't been so smooth to help smooth things over. It's been there to help pay for all of the hosting and all of that stuff, to really make this something that I can do because I'm passionate about it and not because I'm stressed about it. And so thank you so much to you. Thank you also to all of our ongoing patrons. Holy crap. I just looked. We are at 185 patrons. Like we're within spitting distance of 200 right now. Truly incredible. I think this might be, if it's not a record, it's very close to a record for the most patrons we've ever had. And I just really want to say how much it means to me. This has been a wild ride this year. Patrons already know this. It's about to get a little wilder. We're not going to get into that in this episode. Just teasing it, you don't want to miss the next couple of episodes. Do not skip, or you are going to come back and you are going to be like, what is happening? Do you have to listen to the rest of the November episodes to be in the loop and what's going on? Either that or you got to be a patron. You got to be a patron. You learn these things in advance. That's the secret, right? That's what you get. On that note, big special thank you. I'd like to welcome Malrose Jade to the patron crew, pledging for the first time this month. Thank you so much for your generosity. Deeply appreciated. I'd also like to just throw a big shout out to everyone who's ever left us a review. There's a ton of you. There are a ton of hundreds of people have left us reviews. Almost all of them are 5 stars. And that is incredible. That really means a lot to me. And there we have it. Big thanks going out. Let's get into some Destiny stuff, because there is a lot of Destiny stuff to talk about. Now, first up, I do want to remind everybody listening, Podcast versus Enemies recently had two members of the design team, Vivian Bex and Chris Proctor, come on the show. They had a great time. We're able to answer a ton of questions from a PvE point of view. A lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about here, PvE effects, PvE changes, I'm not going to dive into them very deep, right? It's not my current personal expertise. There have been times in the past when in-game PvE has been my expertise, but it's not something that I've kept up on over the last couple of years. And so I'm not going to dive into it. I'm going to leave it to the current experts. You want to check that episode out. And they just this week dropped a follow-up episode providing some additional commentary, focusing on highlights from that show. I highly recommend you check that out. And you can hit up Destiny Massive Breakdowns if you want to see a text, DestinyMassiveBreakdowns.com, if you want to see a text overview outlining everything that we learned during that show. It's really phenomenal. That was actually put together by Impetus with you know, obviously consult from the rest of the PvE crew. So highly recommend you check that out. And it's going to be good. If PvE is your thing, or if you play the whole game, And you want to know what's going on, this is crucial information. So check it out. All right, let's dive into some PvP focused commentary here. All right, first up, we're going to go back a couple of weeks to the 3.0 class balancing TWAB. They're talking about big changes coming to all of the classes, big and small changes coming to all of the classes. So let's kind of speed run through some of that stuff and talk about what season 19 and Lightfall might look like for those of us who like to spend their time in the Crucible. So first up, Solar 3.0. Persistent healing has been in place, where it has felt extremely valuable to everybody. Now, their goal was to make it something that was very valuable in high-level PvE. It ended up being extremely strong, basically, for everybody. Hard to just not constantly use it. It also came out with, along with side updates to resilience, allowing resilience to add significant levels of damage reduction, especially on the high end, making it very, very easy to get that damage reduction for anybody who just leaned hard into resilience, making other stuff a lot less valuable. Pairing those two factors, high damage reduction in PvE and high levels of healing, extremely, extremely strong. I don't have to spend a lot of time in in-game PvE to know this, because that healing was already extremely effective in the Crucible without the damage reductions. So combining them together, it's been a thing. Healing has also been a particular pain point, Bungie acknowledges, in high-level PvP. Very much the case. Lots of gremlins out there this year. So they are making some small adjustments to Restoration Times 1 and a big adjustment to Restoration Times 2. These changes are intended to help ensure that careless players who are just relying on Restoration to get them out of trouble when they, overcommit, are still able to be punished by opposing guardians, crafty PvE combatants. I think that's a great goal. So what are the actual changes? Restoration times one, base healing rate is going from 25 per second to 20 health per second. So it's essentially, for a full health, 200 health guardian, that's a 10% healing, whereas it was a little, a little more than that beforehand. This is not a big change, but it will be felt. Those guardians who maybe escaped, they start healing and, they're just a little bit off of absolute. It'd be a little easier to clean them up before they're able to get their health all the way up. Restoration times one, though, is not quite so overpowered as Restoration times two has been. Restoration times two, the base healing rate was 40 health per second. That was a big amount. If somebody's able to hide from you for 2 seconds, they've recovered nearly half their health. That's huge. And that is going down to 32.5. So as opposed to them recovering rather over a third of their health in 2 seconds, they'll be recovering almost exactly a third of their health in 2 seconds. They describe it as a big change. I don't see it as a big one. I think it might need to come down a little more. We'll have to see how things go in the long term. Restoration times two is still pretty strong, but it is a lot harder to get for most guardians. The other thing here to keep in mind, Restoration no longer stacks with Healing Rift. Instead, the stronger heal over time value is prioritized and will stop the weaker heal over time from taking effect. Now, this is a great change in my mind. In terms of objective and zone type modes in the Crucible, when somebody's able to drop a rift and become just absolutely invincible, it's incredibly frustrating. It's really, really very frustrating. Stag healing rifts are bad enough. If they've got teammates able to give them restoration on top of that, it's just like, what? There's not really any counterplay at that point. There's no playing around it except just straight up dropping a super on them. And dropping a super to counter abilities, even, and this isn't like, that's not even like complicated team setup. That's one player and then one other player, dropping two abilities. Requiring a super to counter that feels like a lot. So this to me is a great change. All right, I've talked about that enough. Let's keep rolling because we have a lot to get through. They're also making some changes to Radiant, specifically adding a minus 10 discipline penalty to Ember of Torches, which increases Radiant's duration. The Radiant-based duration is dropping from 10 seconds down to 8 seconds as well for Ember of Torches. Ember of Solace is now providing a 50% bonus to Radiant Duration rather than a flat 5-second bonus And this actually lines it up with its existing behavior with Restoration's duration buff. Now, Radiant is a small buff, but it has crazy uptime, and often that 10% buff is really all you need to shift times to kill or to make an optimal time to kill achievable. And so I'm really personally glad to see these moves reduce its ubiquitousness in the Crucible. It's something that I have absolutely abused personally. You know, it's been running a Solar Hunter. It makes it pretty easy to have extremely high uptime with Radiant. This is going to make that more difficult. It's going to make fully leaning in to Radiant as your kind of build's neutral focus something that is much more important. You can't kind of go in half-hearted. You really got to go in fully. And even then, you can't have just a free damage bonus all the time. You got to actually think about when you're going to use it so that you can get the most out of that uptime. That, to me, is good. That's more meaningful choices as opposed to just, I'm just going to always have it up. So I like to see that. We've also got a change to Celestial Fire. Its damage against enemy guardians was reduced in trade-off for increased long-range consistency that it offers. However, this often resulted in close-range melee battles failing to end in trade because Celestial Fire's 90 damage plus a base melee is only 190 damage, not able to kill higher resilience guardians. So they've boosted its melee damage at close range from 90 to 100, thus allowing players using it to consistently trade in melee fights at close range. This is fine. I don't have any particular strong commentary on this. I just, you know, all I can really say is that as a hunter, you know, I'd love to discuss how it feels to be disadvantaged by inadvertent auto melee, throwing the wrong melee when someone's close. But I can't because I'm too busy trying to figure out where my damn knife went. So, yeah, so we'll leave that alone. Void changes coming in for Titans and Warlocks. I think these are generally pretty good changes. Void Overshield, it is now providing 50% damage resistance in PvE. This was always intended. However, for a while, it was only providing 25%. There was a bug there. So that is fixed for PvE. It's going to make it much, much more potent, much more worth building into. Voidwalker, the Nova Bomb Vortex is getting higher projectile speed. And then on impact, the radius and strength of the inward pull are both getting pretty significant buffs up. This has definitely been an option that has largely been ignored, especially in the Crucible. I don't know if this will be enough to change that. However, we've got some strongly objective-based modes coming in Season 19. We're going to talk about those later. When Guardians are forced to kind of operate in a small area to focus on an objective, tools like Vortex could potentially come in handy. So it remains to be seen how easy it is to evade this, but the higher speed, the stronger pull, and the bigger radius on that pull, they're making me think that, you know, at least perhaps for the Iron Banner Fortress mode, this could be a tool that Warlocks want to take a look at with fresh eyes. Sentinel Titans, the suppression effect is being made more consistent, more reliable when the user impacts a fast-moving target in PvP. Currently, it results in a lot of whiffs. I think Sentinel Titans know this, especially while targets are airborne. A lot of whiffs going on there. Hopefully, this fix works to alleviate some of that frustration for Sentinel Titans. All right, moving on. Hunters also got some changes specifically to the Shadow Shot super options, Deadfall and Mobius Quiver. Deadfall getting an increased Tether Anchor lifetime. It's actually going to be 150% increase, going from 8 seconds to 12 seconds for the base lifetime on Deadfall. I think that's huge. Mobius Quiver, meantime, the anchor lifetime when triggered is being reduced from 8 seconds to 6 seconds. I think that this is an interesting direction for them to go. Mobius Quiver has definitely been a pretty strong default choice for Night Stalkers lately because it offers that ability to deal massively increased damage on subsequent hits from the super. And that's really been its biggest use. However, it has been sticking around long enough that, you know, you're able to kind of hose down an area with it and more or less get the best of both worlds. You know, it lasted long enough and it also gave you the kind of the boss DPS option if you wanted to use it for that. So this is going to make it a little more focused on the DPS, the single target damage, or the, you know, taking down champions, that kind of thing. Whereas Deadfall is going to get a much stronger focus on longer duration weaken effect, as well as giving it more time to lock down an area, lock down large groups of adds for a long period of time to allow you to take them down, or to take down consecutive waves of adds potentially. So I think this is a great change. In PvP, from that perspective, having a really long uptime on Deadfall does make it more appealing. So that'll be something to consider going forward. If you're able to lock down an area for a full 12 seconds, if you're able to kind of time this right, that could be a round winner, you know, in certain modes. It's not a well, it's not a bubble, doesn't have that kind of duration, but 12 seconds is 12 seconds. And with proper timing, you can really shut down kind of a final push. So it also, the longer duration means that you can fire from a safer location and have more time to approach and seal the deal, so to speak. 8 seconds, you're often a little bit rushed. You're sometimes trying to fire from a less safe location, which often results in you going down, even if your tether is successful in locking down the enemy. Now, this is really being made in light of PvE changes, specifically to Divinity. And so I'm glad to see, you know, hunters getting a stronger focus on their PvE role. That said, I'm also happy to see Bungie is addressing what they call the elephant in the room. It's absolutely true. Invisibility is a huge pain point in PvP. Not only is invisibility itself pretty strong for repositioning, for closing, for map manipulation in combination with smoke. However, it also, there are a lot of ways to have extremely high uptime with it. So you can have it up just almost constantly with the right build. And there are some very strong exotics right now. You know, Khepri Sting, Drifalcons, Hauberk, really allowing you to kind of run wild as a Void Hunter. And that's a bit unhealthy, to say the least. So this is something they are taking a look at. They are making some changes in the future to make refreshing invisibility more punishing by implementing a radar ping loop, which gives victims a bit of a better understanding of where they may be attacked from. What I would like to see is less uptime for invisibility. I'd like to see the total uptime on invisibility go down significantly. And I would love to see Void Hunters get something in trade for losing that, right? It's a very strong ability. I'd like to see Void Hunters, they're kind of one-trick invisible ponies right now. I want a little more than that, right? I want a horse of a different color. I want high invis uptime to be replaced with additional options for map manipulation and or additional access to the other Void verbs, because those are pretty hard for hunters to lean into. Certainly they have some ability to play into Devour, but getting into Overshields is virtually impossible. It's just not worth the effort. So I'd love to see a little more access to those options instead of invisibility. Reducing the uptime also has the side effect of inherently nerfing Void invisibility exotics, because it reduces the uptime of their benefits, which means, you know, potentially fewer changes that need to be made. You know, if somebody can get True Sight only like, you know, once every minute or two instead of once every 10 seconds, like that's a huge shift in the power level of that exotic and a big change in the calculation as to whether or not it's worth having that. Same for, you know, for the Drifalcons damage bonus. It's, you know, it's a significant, meaningful damage bonus. If you can only get it up once every 45 seconds, once every minute, instead of every 10 seconds, maybe you reconsider whether or not it's worth it for you. Certainly it changes your playstyle. So I'd like to see that happen first, and then a second look taken at the exotics to determine if additional changes are still needed. You know, Khepri Sting has been around for ages, hasn't been a problem until Void 3.0. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm coming from. All right. We've got arc changes as well. Storm Grenade's base lifetime being reduced. Thank goodness. Goodbye. Good riddance. Won't miss it. Fantastic change for the Crucible. They're also enhancing the visibility of the friend or foe ring along the ground underneath the grenade. I think this is also a really good change. These visual cues can be so valuable. Now, it is still incumbent upon us as players to actually be paying attention. Now, it was already possible, not easy, but possible, I think, to tell if it was a friendly or an unfriendly storm. Personally, I just kind of avoided all of them. However, they're adding that. They're also adding a visual layer to the roaming storm to help players immediately identify if it's friendly or dangerous. So those are all great changes. Big, call it a big nerf to the Touch of Thunder Storm grenade, but given how ubiquitous it was, using that word a lot today, I guess, I don't think anybody's going to be too sad to see it get brought down a little more in line with the other options. You know, so the Storm Grenade's base roaming duration is reduced from 5 to 4 seconds. Base lifetime granted by Spark of Magnitude to the Enhanced Storm Grenade is reduced from 2 seconds to 1.5 seconds. So it's still got some power, still got some effectiveness, but it's not going to be chasing you for quite as long. And I think that's a great thing. It's also going to be a little easier to avoid accidentally walking into an enemy storm. That is also very important. And also just got to say, love to see the Ballistic Slam PvE buff. Just a reminder, you know, Bungie does balance PvE and PvP separately. I still see people online saying, when are we going to get separate sandboxes? And I'm like, you've got them. Like, you just got to read the TWAB, friend. It's already happening. Okay, an addition on the Ark side of things. Ark Strider, one of their main goals at Bungie for the Ark 3.0 change was to give Ark Strider a stronger level of viability in high-level PvE content. Seems to be doing pretty well right now. Definitely feels like you can get in there and do some work with it. So I like that. They are giving Tempest Strike a 30% damage buff in PvE. So I like to see that. I would not mind seeing Gathering Storm get a little bit more love in PvP, where it feels largely worthless. But, you know, for now, I'm not gonna get too upset. Ark Strider feels pretty decent. Just playing base Ark Strider in PvP feels pretty good. So not going to be too upset if the new super stays primarily a PvE option for the time being. Okay, so one last class on the Ark side, getting some worthwhile changes here. Stormcallers are going to get some pretty significant love, especially in PvE. So the Ark Soul, the base damage against PvE targets was increased from 25 to 35. This, they said, was a fairly conservative change because they anticipated that supercharged Ark Souls would be a lot more prevalent. However, they've determined that, you know, compared to all of the other options available to Warlocks right now for PvE combat, this was not a big enough buff. So the base PvE damage for Ark Soul is going from 35 to 60. Big swing right there. Love to see it. Ark Soul definitely hitting harder. I think that's a great change. As far as the melee abilities go, Lightning Surge has been, in all modes, I think, incredibly popular. Really seeing a lot of it in PvP right now. Those occasional one or two downs off of Lightning Surge, I mean, they're very strong. You know, calling back to Tempest Strike as a hunter, I'm just like, you know, like I feel like I'm standing outside the window in the rain looking in at Lightning Surge. And I'm just like, oh, I want that. And I can get it. I just have to play Warlock, you know. So it's pretty good. It's pretty darn good. Now, that said, they are giving the base Warlock Arc melees a little more juice, trying to make them a little more competitive in the base forms, encourage people to use something other than Lightning Surge with a buff to these melees. So I like that. Ball Lightning is getting a travel range buff, going from 27.5 meters to 35 meters. That is a long ways to go. I don't know that that's the reason people weren't using it, but maybe it is. Maybe it is. You tell me. Chain Lightning, meanwhile, is getting a 50% damage buff against PvE combatants. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. That right there is probably enough to convince me that that's the melee I want to use in PvE. Chaos Reach is also getting big love from Bungie. The base cooldown time dropping from 9:16 to 7 minutes 35 seconds. That's huge. That's really huge. So I see this as, you know, Chaos Reach essentially becoming potentially a viable counter to Bubbles and Wells for zone trials and other zone control type modes where people like to drop those hyper defensive supers to lock down an area. Chaos Reach is now going to be having a lot more uptime. You're able to actually get it charged in those shorter rounds, potentially, before the end of a trials match and actually have it be meaningful. So this is huge for Chaos Reach lovers. You know, enjoy. All right, last up on the abilities docket, we have, that's right, the hard counter to all of this light subclass nonsense, Stasis. Stasis is just flat out getting buffs. So if you are sick and tired of all of the ability spam from these darn light subclasses, run Stasis, my friend, run Stasis. First change coming up is a buff to the slow status effect. So this is virtually everything that your Stasis subclass is doing. Your whole kit is getting a buff. The movement speed penalty to slowed guardians is increased by 10%. They'll be 10% slower, or rather the penalty will be 10% larger. I shouldn't say they'll be 10% slower. That's not correct. The penalty will be 10% larger. This is a small but meaningful buff that will increase the value of slow in terms of preventing guardians from escaping, preventing them from chasing, preventing them from moving to support their friends, preventing them from fleeing toward their friends. Lots of usefulness for slow, and it's just going to be a little bit stronger going forward. Cold Snap Grenades also getting buffed. Cold Snap's Seeker can now adjust its trajectory for half a second after creation, instead of just immediately finding a target and traveling toward their last known position. What this means is that Cold Snap will much more reliably find targets than it has previously. So they're not changing the duration of the freeze or anything like that. They're just making Cold Snap more likely to actually do anything at all. This will also help if you want to use Cold Snap, you don't want to run Osmancy Gloves, for example. So this, I think, is going to be interesting to see how it plays out over the long term. Certainly, as a counter to the movement tech that is available on other classes and the movement tech that's coming with Strand in Lightfall, Cold Snaps feel pretty appealing. Being able to lock a guardian down on the ground, a well-placed Cold Snap can freeze somebody from behind so they don't see it coming. I think this is going to be interesting. Certainly makes me reconsider, you know, whether or not I might go back to Cold Snaps. They were my first favorite grenade with Stasis. They got nerfed so hard that they became unusable. Maybe this is what they needed. Maybe this is the right spot for them. We'll see. Duskfield Grenades. Duskfield Grenades are increasing slow stack application rate on players by 13%. This will mean that if you do not immediately get the heck out, that slow is going to make it very difficult for you to escape the Duskfield. I think this is a good change. I think it's important for Duskfields to feel effective as a trap for locking players down. It has felt like they've not been super strong. Certainly, they're good at locking down a doorway. People don't want to run into them, but they've been fairly easy to escape. And if somebody's not in position to take you out, then they kind of often end up not really achieving a whole lot. So I like to see this change. We also have some buffs to some of the aspects, getting extra fragment slots on Winter's Shroud for Revenant Hunters and Cryoclasm for Behemoth Titans. So I do like to see expanded build crafting possibilities open up for Guardians here. However, I have to say, you know, as an RPG nerd, I would like to see more aspects with varying fragment numbers in the future, because I feel like we have just tons of them with two fragment slots. And I'd like to see more threes and more ones. You know, they don't have to be the majority. Two can be the majority. It's, you know, it's the easy middle ground. It's clearly the level they're attempting to balance against. But if it kind of leaves them all feeling a bit samey, you know, making me at least wonder why we didn't just standardize. They always give two. You just always have the same slots. I'd like to see more potent choices. You know, potent aspects that only come in with one fragment. Super kind of neutral aspects that come in with three. I want to see more of those. We'll see what happens. All right, Shadebinder. Shadebinder is quite good in the Crucible. If you don't know that it's quite good, please let me just assure you, it's quite good in the Crucible right now. It's perhaps the best hard counter to light subclasses that exist in the game at present. It's very, very strong. They are reducing the cooldown on Stasis Shard Creation from 15 seconds to 10 seconds. This is a buff to Glacial Harvest. Now, Glacial Harvest is a tough... It's got steep competition. You've got Ice Flare Bolts, Bleak Watcher, Frost Pulse. Lots of good possibilities in there for build crafting. Reducing the cooldown here gives it some love. I like that this is kind of a light touch to try to bring Glacial Harvest up. We'll see how it plays out. Additionally, Whisper of Rending is getting a buff. This is something, it's a fragment that Bungie says was originally intended to be a tool for Shadebinders to sort of make the crystals go boom or shatter crystals more effectively. They don't have Cryoclasm, they don't have Shatter Dive, so they don't have a really easy way to shatter crystals. They're very good at freezing things, less good at breaking crystals. So Whisper of Rending now provides bonus damage to stasis crystals and frozen targets for all primary ammo weapons, not just kinetic primary ammo weapons. So what that means is that stasis primaries can now also shatter them. Energy primaries can now also shatter them. So Whisper of Rending, huge buff, huge, huge buff, really opened up what is possible for, you know, builds that are focused on shattering crystals for shade binders. Especially, but, you know, kind of for everybody. Okay, that is everything for the 3.0 subclass balancing pass. We can definitely expect, I think, to see more subclass balancing coming in the future. But this, to me, overall, feels like generally pretty good changes. Nothing too crazy happening. Obviously, invisibility still, for those of us who are heavy in PvP, we got to see changes to that coming sooner than later. It's definitely a problem, but they have said they're aware, they're looking at what they can do to change, and what changes they think are going to work well, you know, with the rest of the game. All we can do is give them the time to make those changes, test those changes, and bring us something new. All right, now the meat. Those were the potatoes. Now we get to the good stuff here. It's time to talk about Crucible changes. So in this latest TWA, Bungie has outlined their player experience goals for the various Crucible playlists and experiences that are going to be available to us going forward in Season 19 and beyond. So let's take a look. You know, what are the intents that they are expressing to us here? All right, casual Crucible. This is quick play. The Rotator playlist, and the Crucible Labs playlist. So three playlists fall in under casual Crucible. That's a lot. This is kind of where I think we can expect a lot of people to be spending most of their time. This is where people will be going to get their weekly pinnacles done. What's the goal here? Bungie's intent is that players can find a fair game, make friends, and keep playing for as long as they're having fun. Their real-life comparison is playing pickup games at the gym. That makes sense. I can understand the intent. You know, we have some focus here from them on the games being fair and not too intense. So we'll see. You know, we're going to talk about matchmaking. They've got news on the matchmaking front later in the show. I think pretty good news. I'm pretty excited about it. So we'll circle back on that one. Iron Banner. Iron Banner is intended to be a week-long celebration of PvP in Destiny that draws in everyone. The real life comparison here is like an exhibition match or a block party. Everybody comes out and shows up and has a good time. And that's a goal I think that historically they've been pretty good about hitting in Destiny 2. Iron Banner has long been, I think, one of the most enjoyable playlists for a lot of people. It's always been fun. I love the experimentation that they've been doing with it lately. And we're gonna circle back on Iron Banner later too, because we've got season 19 news. On that front, Trials of Osiris. The goal here, prove your skill and your build against worthy rivals, the real-life comparison, high-stakes pro-am tournaments. So that's professional/amateur tournaments. So these are people who are really good at whatever it is that they're doing, obviously, really good at the Crucible, presumably, going in, proving themselves against other folks who are really good. Trials of Osiris is intended to be super hard. Fair. Ranked play. Ranked play is, that's one they've been missing on for a long time. And they're taking a big swing at trying to get it right in Season 19. So I'm very excited to see how that pans out. So the goal in ranked play, fair matches, measure yourself, growth that you can see and feel, and the stakes are always high. So their real-life comparison is local recreational leagues. I like this comparison. I've played rec sports. It's super fun. You're hanging out with friends, but you're also like, I want to win. I'm not here to lose with my friends. I'm here to win. And so that's cool. I like that. Private matches, I don't think they can really miss. These have been great. The only miss that they can really make is just not adding new features over time. But I think, we'll continue to see new stuff come to it as new stuff is added to the game. And so that's, game night with friends and private matches. Lots of people already taking full advantage of that. They gave us kind of some insight into the population numbers and playtime numbers. And private matches are definitely not being ignored. All right. So I love the clarity of intent that they have provided here for these different playlists. We've seen intent provided before, and it's sometimes easier said than done, right? We had an intent for PvP to be focused on gunplay with abilities playing a smaller role. And this year has been pretty ability heavy. I think it's fair to say this year has been a miss in terms of that goal for the Crucible. It's something I think they're aware of, and I hope to see some changes to emphasize gunplay further in PvP, at least in the competitive division. So that's pretty forward looking as yet. I know they don't want to nerf everything just for the sake of competitive PvP. It's a relatively small population, but that said, those are very dedicated players, and I don't want to see them leave the game. All right, so up next we've got a new Crucible screen for season 19. Oh boy. Okay, so here's what we've got. We've got Quick Play 6v6. This playlist includes both Clash and Control and uses the loose skill-based matchmaking that they've been working on and tuning in season 18. Then we have the weekly Rotator 6v6 / Free-for-All playlist. So this playlist will rotate on a weekly basis, cycling between Momentum Control, Mayhem, Team Scorched, Rift, and Rumble. This will use purely connection-based matchmaking. The competitive division, Freelance 3v3. This playlist now randomly cycles between Survival, Rift, and Showdown. These modes were chosen by Bungie in order to showcase a variety of playstyles and give players an opportunity to show how good they really are. It's going to be using a new skill-based matchmaking setting built using concepts that they developed through the loose skill-based matchmaking tuning, but tightened to match you more closely against opponents of your skill. Crucible Labs. During Season 19, the Labs playlist node will showcase 3v3 Rift on asymmetrical maps. Labs will have a stacking plus 25% reputation booster, and it will use connection-based matchmaking. So we've got some options going on here. Now, private matches makes up the final segment here and the standard Crucible screen. I don't feel like I need to really get into that. We know how those work. So we've got some options here. We've got two skill-based matchmaking playlists, one loose, quick play, one tight, competitive division, and we've got two connection-based playlists, weekly rotator list and Crucible Labs. So this, I think, really gives people the opportunity to kind of choose the experience that they want. Now, that said, for people who want to play Clash and Control on connection-based matchmaking, they are a bit out of luck. Absolutely. And that's a bit of a gap. That said, it's a sacrifice I personally am willing to make. And here's why, right? I don't want to see playlist bloat. We don't need 10 playlists in the Crucible. That is too much. That splits the population immensely. We still have freelance options in here as well, right? And so that means, really we've got 7 nodes on the base. That's a lot of playlists for PvP. Personally, I think it's still too many. Bungie is looking at trying to get things to a place where they don't need the freelance nodes to be available, bringing it down to 5. I think that's a much healthier number of playlists. I hope that things work out that way. We'll talk about the matchmaking later on in the show. But yeah, I really hope the changes work out so we can get the number of playlists down. I think that's really going to help everyone's experience if we can cull the total options down a little further. You know, if it's just four like actual playlists and then private matches, I think population's going to be, you know, even during lower population times a year or times a day, with only four playlists to choose between, you know, I think that's going to yield much better experiences for people, you know, versus, you know, again, if we're discounting private matches right now, we're going to be having six in season 19 because you got to count the freelance nodes. Six is a lot, you know, that's a significant reduction if we can get rid of those. So we'll see. All right. So first, let's talk about these different playlists. First up, I like that they're combining Control and Clash. Clash is a nice change of pace, kind of taking the objective out of it, just letting you go full Slayer. However, I am always concerned. They've combined these in the past, and it seems like a lot of people kind of forget how Control works and that you have to actually capture the zone, and it just ends up becoming a Clash playlist, and a few of us are trying to capture zones in the meantime. So hopefully that doesn't happen, you know, but if it does, it does. We've got some other good playlists to dive into. All right, Rotator playlist. This looks like a super fun place to hang out, to chill, to just play with friends, to be silly. I like that. There will definitely be some weeks that I'll play more than others. You know, I personally am not a huge fan of Team Scorched. Don't at me. Not a huge fan of Momentum Control. Again, don't at me. Honestly, the weeks that I'll be in there the most are probably going to be Rift and Rumble, because I love those modes. When they're available all the time, I'm less motivated to play them, as opposed to just kind of diving into Control. Some of that is population-based. I think having them available just, you know, once every 5 weeks means that the people who want to play them are not going to miss that opportunity to do so, which means population should be good, matchmaking should be good, and the modes are going to be more fun than they otherwise might be. So I'm pretty happy with that structure. I do hope to see them swap modes out in the future or add new modes. You know, I also have to say, there's a part of me that wants the Rumble and the Rotator list to be 12-player Rumble, you know, even if just for a short time, just to see how it plays. All right, let's talk about what's really, really got folks excited. Competitive Division Crucible. All right, this is a huge change. They dumped a ton of details on us. I'm going to dive into all of those details after we finish kind of talking about the playlist generally. But for now, I want to say that I'm very happy to see some variety in the modes, because a big part of what has kept me away from playing competitive currently, aside from just Glory being a nonsense system, is I just get tired of playing the same mode all the time. And it's not fun for me to grind just survival all the time or just any one mode all the time. I get bored. And when it's not fun, I don't do it, right? I'm playing Destiny to have fun. So I'm not going to grind the same mode just to achieve some goal. I'm not that kind of person. I don't enjoy that. There are people who do, and more power to them. I have no problem with those folks. But I think this is going to appeal to a wider audience. Bungie clearly does as well. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. So the modes here are Survival, Rift, and Showdown. I'm not surprised they kept Survival in there. They clearly are a fan of that as a competitive mode. I'm very happy to see a Rift in a competitive setting, because that's a super, super team-based mode. Like, team coordination makes all the difference in the world in Rift. 3v3 Rift is going to be wild to see how that plays out. You know, team wipes could easily result in nearly guaranteed scores, so it's going to be super important to have that team chemistry down in 3v3 Rift in the competitive division. Very excited for that. Kind of same for Countdown. You know, a team wipe could really be it, right? So it's going to be very important for players to play together. The only thing I'm concerned about is, you know, and this is always a risk. All of these modes have this risk of encouraging passive play. So I think it's going to be important for game mechanics to kind of acknowledge that danger and to push people to not be too passive in these modes. So we'll see how that goes. You know, that's the danger, right? 3v3 Rift, like, does it end up just relying on whoever gets a pick first and then collapses properly gets the win? Maybe it does. That said, team composition is going to be important. And because it's random, you're going to have to be set up to like play any one of these modes at any time. Or you're going to have, you know, your loadouts. I don't know what you're going to do, right? Being able to swap stuff to play Rift versus Survival is going to be painful, you know? So you're going to kind of have to go in with something that's going to work for both. All right, we'll come back to competitive division. Crucible Labs, connection-based matchmaking, asymmetric maps, 3v3 Rift, big boost to rep. They're going to get people in there, right? Plus 25%. I'm going to be in there for sure. Definitely intrigued by that. It's worth diving into just for the rep bonus. It's going to be very sweaty, though. Connection-based matchmaking Rift on asymmetric maps on 3v3. Like, it's going to be super, super sweaty. That booster is definitely going to be necessary to keep people interested in diving in and getting punished by the good teams. All right, so Trials. When Trials is available, it will replace Labs as a playlist node. Again, I like keeping the total available playlist limited, just for population's sake. We'll come back to the Trials updates in a little bit here. Iron Banner is going to be getting loose skill-based matchmaking. We can assume it's going to work basically the same as what Quick Play has, and it will also take the Quick Play slot, so this kind of makes sense. I'm not surprised to see this happening. I know people have strong opinions on how matchmaking works, but this was the logical direction for them to go. They said it was going to be spreading. We knew, I mean, Iron Banner was of course, it's going to be the next one on the block to get that. I'm hopeful that it's going to end up, especially with the other matchmaking changes they have in the hopper right now, I think it's going to be pretty okay. Cautiously optimistic. All right. Now, Bungie also gave us a look at player populations and playtime per player with different playlists. So this was interesting to see. It's not surprising, right? There's no particular surprise that Iron Banner, Control, and Trials of Osiris, between the three of them, are the most popular options in the Crucible, right? Iron Banner's got the most population and playtime per player. Pretty obvious, you know, it doesn't come around that often. It has some pretty solid rewards, even if they're a bit difficult to farm. And it rewards you for grinding for that week. So, makes a lot of sense. I think it would do a lot less well if it was around 24/7 or 24/7 365, I should say, like Control is. Now, Control, of course, it's the biggest node. It's right in the middle. Somebody hops in, first thing they see, most likely thing they're going to click on, of course. And then Trials, of course, has its own motivations. Survival does pretty well also. Mayhem, Momentum get pretty high. People dipping in and out, you know, generally, I think probably to do bounties and such, to do seasonal quests and things. Private matches do surprisingly well. And people, when they do get into a private match, they spend a pretty good long time in there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Definitely important to keep private matches around for folks. I think we can see why Rumble and Showdown are not going to be having their own playlists and why Clash also is not going to be having its own playlist. Personally, I would love to see like a full TWAB or blog breakdown of these population stats, at the very least for like a mode like Trials, for example. All right, moving on. We've got a new Crucible Triumph and title. Glorious is coming to the Crucible. This is intended to be something that you can complete in a single season. It is going to be very exclusive, very difficult to achieve. Folks that have it, like wearing that is going to be a sign that like this player does not mess around. you will know the really good players when it says Glorious under their names. That's the person to team shot right there. All right. Other exciting news, exciting for everybody. Crucible Engram focusing. Yes. Yes. Finally. Oh, I've been asking for this for, feels like years now. So Crucible Engrams are essentially going to be a virtual currency going forward. They will live exclusively on the rank progress bar on Lord Shax, so they will not fill up your inventory, which is nice. They may be opened individually by players directly in Shax's menu. You can focus the Crucible Engram directly into either armor or weapons. The Season 19 cost will be 1 Engram, 10,000 Glimmer, 50 Legendary Shards. Pretty costly. Definitely feeling some inflation right there. However, they do not need to be claimed in order to be spent on focusings. You don't have to pick them up and then focus them. You can just focus them and it'll automatically use the next one that he's got lined up for you. So Shax kind of stores them for you. Very, very much appreciate that, Lord Shax. Very much appreciate that. Individual pieces of gear must have been acquired at least once prior to being available for focusing. That's pretty standard. Crucible armor will be the Clutch X-Tol set. And the Crucible weapons available for focusing will be Stars in Shadow, the Keening, Frozen Orbit, Survivor's Epitaph, Sorrow's Verse, Crisis Inverted, Riptide, and Out of Bounds. I'm so pumped for this. I think you all know Out of Bounds is a game changer for SMGs. It's phenomenal. I love it. Crisis Inverted, also a pretty strong choice in PvP. Also Omalon. It looks cool. It feels good. It is a bit power crept by some other weapons, so that, you know, it's definitely going to be a niche pick, but it's there. Survivor's Epitaph, in terms of the precision hand cannons, I do like it quite a bit. Frozen Orbit's there. The Keening is newly quite strong. And Stars in Shadow, I think it gets pretty slept on among the high impact pulses. Stars in Shadows is really quite good. It's got some very solid perks. Being able to focus that and get a really good roll is going to be very nice. And so Bungie also outlines their plan going forward is that brand new Crucible weapons will be drops only during their introductory season, available for focusing in the following season. So if you don't get lucky that first season, you will have a chance to sort of fix your luck a little bit in the following season. So that's nice. I like that. And just again, a note, Shax is using a brand new engram system. So the engrams will be stored directly on the vendor when you use them for focusing. Again, you don't pick them up. They're just there on him. You just get to focus directly, and that uses the ones that are stored on Shax himself, not in your inventory. This is going to be, a mental shift for a lot of us. So I just want to really highlight, because that's a huge quality of life change. You know, I think it's going to be like you're going to accidentally click on it and just like get a random drop the first time. You're going to be like, oh, wait, I can focus, you know. So I think once we make that mental shift, it's going to feel really good to have this as an option. They are planning to convert all ritual vendors to this system with Lightfall. Heck yeah. Heck yeah, Guardians. Can't wait for that. We're also going to be seeing a larger focusing rebalancing pass, i.e. lower Glimmer and Legendary Shard costs coming in Lightfall. It's just icing on the cake at this point. You know, I love to see it. I love to see it. Season 20 is also going to be bringing a wallet item that will show us how many engrams we have on any given vendor. So that's a nice feature. Okay, what else here? We've got a bunch of other gear changes coming in season 20 and Lightfall. I'll kind of leave those for you to read about. I want to get through some of the rest of the stuff here and try to keep this episode from being me talking for 2 hours straight. All right, here it is. The first of the new kind of mode revamps, Iron Banner Fortress. So Iron Banner is twice a season PvP celebration for all Guardians to walk around wearing flaming Iron Banner armor, competing for the love of competition. So Iron Banner has been getting some fun new modes of late. They had Rift brought into Destiny 2, back into Destiny via Iron Banner. They also introduced their first new mode since Team Scorched, Iron Banner Eruption, which has been a pretty big hit, especially among higher skilled PvP players who've really been loving the chance to shine. I gotta say, it rewards people who can get killstreaks, you know, so it's gonna be pretty well loved by the folks who are very good at PvP. It makes a lot of sense to me. I think it's a little landslidey, but they've made some changes that I think that may make it a little bit less landslidey, give you a little more room for comebacks. So far, the feedback has been pretty good on that front. That said, next season's a whole new mode, Iron Banner Fortress. So Fortress, the core gameplay objective is to capture and hold zones. So this is going to be a variation on zone control. Now, they also comment that the real fun begins when Keitel gets involved. And we've got an image here of a Crucible match where we've got Cabal turrets, apparently on a zone. So that's going to be pretty fun. That's pretty exciting. We've got Cabal turret King of the Hill coming to Destiny 2 with Iron Banner. The first chance to experience this for us is going to be January 3rd, 2023. Mark it on your calendars, Guardians. Be there. It's going to be interesting. Personally, I'm pretty excited. I love King of the Hill modes. And throwing in a little bit of wackiness just lights my fire to play it. So very excited for that. I'm very curious to find out if you get to activate the zones to drop these Cabal defenses. If you get more defenses, the longer you hold the zone. I'm curious to see how it plays out. We've got no other details. The other thing they do share for Iron Banner is we've got a shotgun and an auto rifle coming next season. The auto rifle, I've got to think, is going to be the forward path returning. The shotgun, they say, is one that we haven't seen since the early days of Destiny 2. So I'm thinking that it's probably not Rhys Walker, but rather Fellwinter's Lie, which was an Iron Banner reward early on in Destiny 2. And then there was a quest then that allowed people to kind of get that fixed role that was sort of Iron Banner related. And then D1 also had Deidre's Retort as a shotgun. They could be bringing that back. I'm guessing it's the Lie, but I'll be curious if I've forgotten something. If there was another shotgun that is just like somehow left my mind completely. Let me know what you guys are guessing in the comments. Okay, matchmaking. Oh boy. I got to provide a trigger warning. If you're prone to throwing your controller or mouse or keyboard or breaking your screen or just getting very upset by matchmaking talk, this is probably the time to go ahead and just turn off the podcast and do something else. Try a little meditation, go outside, touch some grass. Self-care, Guardians. Self-care. All right. If you've drawn up a warm bath, lit some candles, and are ready to talk about matchmaking, so am I. All right. So first up, and this, I got to think everyone's going to be very happy about this. From low skill to high skill to everyone in between, fire team based matchmaking. It's here. Season 19, Bungie will be testing a new quick play matchmaking parameter to allow them to direct matchmaking to match up fire teams. So full team of six should generally match against another full fire team. And this will be time-based, so longer matchmaking times will lead to you potentially matching against a team of five plus a solo. A very long matchmaking time might lead you to match against 4+2 or 4+2 solos. Smaller fire teams might match larger fire teams against two fire teams of similar sizes or against all smaller fire teams. You know, obviously, if you're going in there with a smaller group, you've got to expect your matchmaking experience is going to be a little more varied. I think the intent here is that solos generally shouldn't end up getting completely screwed by matchmaking going forward. I love to see it. This has been something that we've needed in the game for a very long time. I've got to think that it has to be incredibly complicated to get this right on the back end. And I'm so glad that it's finally here. I want to also caution everyone, just remember, this is the first implementation of this matchmaking parameter. So let's not get too worked up if it's not perfect on the first outing. All right, let's give some honest feedback. Say, hey, this was my experience. This is how it made me feel. This is what I'd really like to see that would make me feel better. Right? That's the formula. You know, I just did a great episode on this recently with Bobby Sox. We talked about what bad feedback looks like versus what good feedback looks like. You know, look, emotion comes into it. You're playing a game. You want to have a good time. If you have a bad time, it sucks. It hurts. It can make you upset. Make you sad, it can make you mad, it can make you sad mad. I feel that. Don't give your feedback in that moment, right? Take a step back, think about it, put some words down on paper or in your Google Docs or whatever. Have Siri take, you know, dictation for you and then give some feedback. Make it honest, you know, tell them, hey, this, I really did not like how this felt. It for me personally, it sucked. Don't speak for everybody, speak for you. That's the kind of feedback that is the most useful to them in making these changes. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just hop down off my soapbox. I'll try not to get back on it. Personally, I'm very, very excited. Now, they also state that once they've had ample time to test these matchmaking settings, they are planning to roll them out to other playlists, including Iron Banner, Trials of Osiris, and more. And the hope, I think, here is that ultimately this will like remove the need for freelance playlists as alternate nodes. Now, could they still cycle in freelance weeks? Sure, absolutely. I love to see those. I think it's a great way to spice things up. But for the health of the game and for the health of the Crucible, I really think it's important that we get down to just the necessary playlists. I think overall, the best experiences will be had when there is a large population with a variety of players in all skill brackets. That's what I personally believe. I think Bungie's pushing in that direction based on what it says here in the TWAB and what we've seen in previous TWABs. You know, so I'm really excited based on this. All right, next up, improving connection at the high end. We know we've heard a lot of negative feedback from higher skilled players that, you know, especially in areas or at times when the population is lower, at times in the season, like now, when the population is lower, the experience gets pretty bad. Connections get pretty bad, or skills get pretty varied, but mostly connections get bad. And that leads to a pretty unfun experience for everybody involved. So Bungie is rolling out a new matchmaking feature called Dynamic Skill Ranges. So the high-level overview is that the skill window that the matchmaking system looks at in a low population skill bracket or during low population times is that the skill window will get larger. It'll grow to expand, to basically give you more potential players to match against and improve the connections that you're matching against. Because while it does suck to get stomped by a much better player, it's even worse if everybody's experience sucks because connections are so bad that literally you can't even tell how good anyone is, right? That's the worst timeline right there, you know? So will this result in, at those times, better players having an advantage? Sure. You know, if they're playing at 3 a.m. Pacific time, or if they're playing in a region where the population of Destiny players is very low, very good players have a bigger advantage. I think that's inevitable, right? I don't think there's a way to avoid skill being a factor in PvP. So that said, I think this is a pretty fair compromise to give connection sufficient priority that everyone has the possibility of having a good time. Now, I also have to say, for players in very, very low skill brackets, where population is also low, I think this could work out well for them too. I don't know what those population numbers look like. Again, I'd love to see a huge numbers and graphs and charts breakdown from Bungie on population in the Crucible and all the different playlists and the skill levels. I know they've got this stuff. We don't get to see it, you know, and pulling numbers from Steam or even, you know, through the API, it gives us some info, but it's 100% not going to be like the full picture, right? We're very limited in what can be pulled out of there. It's part of the reason that I really just have stayed away from talking about population, because the information we have access to from the outside is not super high quality. All right, again, stepping off the second soapbox, let's get to it. Dynamic skill ranges coming out sometime in January. We don't have a firm date from Bungie yet, but I think that's going to be another great feature. Should make a lot of people very happy. It certainly is going to take some of the bitterness out of the loose skill-based matchmaking pill that players are currently swallowing. Okay, what else do we have here? What other trigger-inducing topics are left? Quitter suspensions. During Season 18, they rolled out a competitive quitter penalty to the Quick Play playlist. They consider this to be an emergency level because a ton of people were repeatedly quitting matches, which was resulting in unfair matches, matches with lopsided teams that just sort of made things very unfun for kind of everybody. It's not fun to stomp a lopsided team. It's not fun to be on a lopsided team. It's not fun to quit, right? Like, nobody was having a good time. So they implemented this to discourage quitting until they had time to bring some more changes to. Controversial move, for sure. A lot of people, I think, were very upset. You know, I personally wasn't super affected by it. I'm not going to lie, I'm not in the top 10% of skill. I'm not in the bottom 10% of skill. It wasn't a big deal for me. So I was able to avoid the Twitter drama, but certainly it affected a lot of people, including people that I know, and I feel for them, you know? I feel for everybody involved. It was a bad situation. What they've got coming in Season 19 is this. Lowered the amount of suspension time handed out for serial quitting in the Quick Play playlist. So shorter suspensions. The amount of time remaining on a suspension is now added to suspension messages and also triggered when you click on the Crucible node. So if you have been suspended for quitting too much and you want to know how long you have left before you can play Crucible again, that information is now immediately accessible to you. I think that's, if you're going to have a quitting penalty, I think that's a great quality of life. Let people know when they can dive back in. Finally, as they roll out the new matchmaking features, we will hopefully see the quitter penalty go away. They're going to be reevaluating that, and I think that's really fantastic. Very excited to see that hopefully disappear from the Crucible. I think everyone can probably agree that it's not fun. And so I'd like to see that not be something Bungie feels is necessary. All right. We're almost through, Guardians. Not too much left. Just like 5 more pages in my 20-page outline for this show. Let's get through it. Trials of Osiris. They are going to have a couple of updates coming to it in the future. You know, so first up, we've got new weapons coming. Machine gun and a 140 hand cannon. That should excite some folks. A lot of hand cannon levers out there. Depending on what we see for sandbox balance patches, hand cannon could be worth pursuing. I think a lot of people feel like it's not right now, but we don't know what's going to happen here. The new season always brings a shift in the sandbox, and hand cannons are a perennial favorite for Crucible players especially. So I know Bungie doesn't want to see them actually suck, right? So I don't think so anyways. Maybe I'm wrong and we'll find out. But anyways, they are looking at adding fireteam-based matchmaking into Trials of Osiris. This would potentially eliminate the need for a freelance node, which is great. They aren't making those changes yet, but it may happen. Will it happen in Season 19? I guess it depends on how things go. That'd be a fantastic mid-season patch, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think so. All right, Season 19, the Flawless Pool will not be changing. However, they are working on what they call a new paradigm that removes the Flawless Pool, but still provides protection for players working on Trials Reputation rewards. This is something they are hoping to bring in as a Trials lab during Season 20, and will be providing more information on later in Season 19. I gotta think that's something to look forward to. You know, even if you end up taking a break from Trials for Season 19 because you just don't like the Flawless Pool, I gotta think you're gonna be checking out labs in Season 20 and checking those TWABs in Season 19 to see what's up. New paradigm and no more Flawless Pool. That's. I know people are getting hyped about that. That's a good change. That's a change worth sticking around for right there. All right. For the Year of Lightfall maps, this past year we got the return of two Destiny 2 maps, Eternity and Vostok, a map from Destiny 1, Cathedral of Dusk. Hashtag Hive maps are very, very pretty. That's a long hashtag. Let's move on. And a new map set on Savathun's Throne World, Disjunction, which was super fun during Rift when it first dropped. Less fun when it was coming up way too much later on in other modes. Anyways, much of the focus for this year of map content was to give players some larger spaces, lanes for sniping, room for pulse rifles and scouts, and other ranged options to dominate. In the coming year, they'll be bringing back two more maps from earlier in Destiny 2, and they are working on production of a brand new map, which they expect to release the Year of Lightfall. They are implying, in my mind, that these maps may be a little bit tighter. They've given us some larger spaces. That was their focus, they say. So what's the focus for next year? I don't know. Will we have some tight corners and close-range maps? Could be fun. Could be a nice change of pace. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Especially with, you know, things like 3v3 Rift, 3v3 Countdown coming back. Some tighter maps could be a good time. All right. They also invite you to apply if you have experience creating gameplay spaces. But Bungie has been going on a spree lately, promoting these job postings. They're definitely putting it out there. They're looking for good people. I feel like I've seen a poster on them on Twitter from, you know, talking about what it's like to work at Bungie and encouraging people to apply like every week for the last 2 months. Okay. Competitive division. This is big. This is the change that's going to make Season 19 worth diving into for Crucible players right here, if it pans out the way it sounds. All right. So, you know, they acknowledge they've been making changes to Trials, to Gambit, to Iron Banner. They knew that the ranked play experience needed attention. That's, I mean, I think we can agree, an understatement. It needed so much attention. The glory ranking system was just felt like nonsense. Didn't really feel like it meant a whole lot. Didn't really feel like it rewarded you in any particular way or had any particular correlation to skill. The whole mode just sort of, every time I would dive into it, I would just question, why am I here? What am I doing? What am I going to get out of this? How am I going to be rewarded? And I didn't really have good answers, which is why I just didn't really spend a lot of time in it. So that is something they are aiming to change. Here are the goals they've outlined. All players find a variety of balanced matches and feel competitive. A player's PvP division, you know, their rank here, is a core part of their Guardian identity. And they maintain places in the ecosystem to not engage in ranked play, but still have decently balanced matches, or to not engage in skill-based matchmaking at all. So that's kind of for the other playlists. So what is the competitive division? In Season 19, Glory goes goodbye. We get a new 3v3 ranked playlist called Competitive Division, which is built as a true ladder-based system. Holy smokes, they did it. They did it. 7 divisions, Copper through Ascendant, which is pretty dope. I got to think Ascendant is going to be a real small division. That's bragging rights right there, to have a true ladder-based division coming on. So the goal here, players have steps to climb each of these 7 divisions. Copper, Bronze, Silver, Gold, Platinum, Adept, Ascendant has 3 subdivisions within it. And these divisions and subdivisions will provide a more accurate representation of skill than the current glory system, which I think we can largely agree doesn't really say a whole lot about skill. Players who surpass the gold ranking and begin diving into Platinum, Adept, and Ascendant will represent some of the best Crucible players in the community. So that's pretty exciting to see a clear ranking system and a clear system for identifying how good your opponents are at PvP versus how good you are. This is something the game has been lacking for years. And they did it. Oh, I'm so excited for Season 19. Okay, so here's how it works. Let's dive into kind of the high-level explanation they've got. They do note there's going to be a help article coming out closer to launch that is going to go more in-depth on the details of how this is all going to work. So we don't have those yet. It's coming. We'll cover it when it comes out. All right. Start of the season, you will begin a placement series. Now, the start of the season. So this to be says, every season, you're going to play a new placement series for your first 7 games. You will have no division rating, and this will determine where you are positioned at the start of that season. This is fantastic. They're resetting it every season. Now, they do note for the first season, the highest you can be placed is in Gold 3. In future seasons, you will be placed close to your previous competitive division. So if you attain Ascendant in Season 19, then you can probably safely assume you're going to be in a pretty high division to start out in Season 20, assuming that you're still good at the game in Season 20. This makes a lot of sense. This is how competitive ladder systems work in most PvP games. You know, whether they're, you know, Hearthstone to a variety of shooters out there, this is how a ladder system should work. This is what we needed. All right, so as you continue to compete in the competitive division, your rating is adjusted based on 4 major factors. Match outcome, did you win or lose? Division inflation, deflation. Based on your, you know, what I think we've had referred to in the past as MMR, your matchmaking rating. This is kind of a hidden rating that Bungie has, and maybe it's not MMR internally. I don't know what they call it internally. They have some kind of rating of skill internally that they aren't going to show us externally, but this... The ladder here is going to kind of be tied in part to this behind-the-scenes skill rating. And this your skill rating is going to help pull you toward the appropriate rating. Now, I don't entirely love that. I wish that this was just raw skill rating. It's not. All right, I'm going to let it go. Match performance, how well you perform on a match-to-match basis. I love seeing this in here because you can lose, but if you're at the top of the leaderboard on your team, I think you still deserve recognition in terms of your rating, right? If you're going 40-0 and the rest of your team is at 0.5 for the match and you lost, like, that's not really your fault. And I don't think you should be punished for it. Player to lobby skill delta. So how your skill compares to everyone else in the match. This, I think, is super important, right? So I think what we're probably going to see here is you're still going to play people who are in other divisions. However, if they're much higher division than you and you lose, like, you're not really going to be punished significantly for that. Whereas, you know, conversely, if you beat somebody of a much lower division, you're not really going to get a whole lot out of that in terms of rating points. Let's look at here they explain. How do you earn and lose division rating? You gain enough rating to move up between subdivisions, for example, from gold 2 to gold 1, you automatically enter that subdivision. So you get the points, you're moved to the next subdivision. Going down works the same way. If you lose points, you go down. Subdivisions, there's nothing particularly special. That's pretty standard. All right, makes sense. Easy. If you gain enough rating to move up a division, for example, from gold to gold 1 to platinum 3, you enter a promotion series. So the next three games determine whether or not you can actually be advanced. You have to win 2 out of 3. That's pretty hardcore. Similarly, if you lose enough rating to move down a division, you're having a bad run, you enter a relegation series where you have to win 2 out of 3 games to not get bumped down a division. So that's going to push people. If they're in a division they don't belong in, it's going to push them out pretty quick. Conversely, if they're in a division that they don't belong in, it'll also push them up pretty quick, I think. You know, if you're winning every match, you're gonna glide right on up those ratings. So that's good to see. This makes a lot of sense. I like the way that this works. It feels like it's going to be pretty exciting. Have that good tension where the matches really feel like they matter. Definitely going to be encouraging team play. So I like all of that. Upon reaching gold and higher, your division rating is subject to weekly decay, so you'll lose points if you don't keep playing the game. If you take a couple of weeks off, you're going to find yourself down. We don't have details on how much yet. I'm sure we'll see that in the help article in the future. They're also going to provide an intro quest to kind of outline this, how this all works in the game. We'll also unlock a reward for players. This quest must be completed once for each account, so it's an account-based quest. Not a character-based quest. That's good. Not a huge fan of character-based quests, unless I'm getting a random reward. This quest will be available from Shaxx once you unlock Crucible as a new light or immediately for veteran players. Since competitive division is aimed at drawing a close link between skill and the division that you're in, they don't see this as something that you should be grinding for rewards. There's not going to be a huge incentive to, say, hit the top rating if you don't belong there. That's their goal. Now, there's still some incentive. There's still some reward for being at that higher, those higher divisions. Whether or not that's worth getting, you know, getting someone to carry you up if you can't maintain it and you just lose your way right back down real quick without them, that's going to be for each person to decide, I suppose. I am, however, glad to see that they are cautious and that they don't intend to return to pinnacle weapons for high-performance players, as that really, really exacerbates a very painful skill gap and makes it really tough for people coming in late to get to those higher divisions if they don't have these broken weapons that we used to get, you know, from topping out in competitive. Okay. All right. So there is going to be a multiplier on Crucible reputation earning in Destiny 2 based on your division. Copper and bronze will be 1.0. Silver will be 1.1. Gold will be 1.2. Platinum, 1.3. Adept, 1.4. And Ascendant, 1.5. So definitely some additional rewards for those players. But those rewards won't be any better than anyone else. It's just more chances to get loot. More chances to focus in, Grams. I think that's fair. If you're an Ascendant, you're spending a lot of time in the Crucible. You're not playing the rest of the game nearly as much as other people. You know, unless this is your full-time thing, I think it's fair that you get more drops from the Crucible as a benefit of that focus. That said, even if you're not great at PvP, you know, if you can work your way up to Silver, you're still getting the 10% buff to your Crucible reputation. And that, I think, is pretty phenomenal. Now, they do note that this stacks multiplicatively with bonus rank weeks and the hidden bonus in Crucible Labs. So if you rank up your division and you go and play on a bonus rank week, and you play in Crucible Labs, you are going to be getting a lot of Crucible loot, like an actual boatload of Crucible loot. That's pretty cool. They believe that 95% of players will be earning more reputation over the course of the season than what's currently available. Given all those bonuses that are available to stack up and the way that they stack up, that sounds pretty believable to me. They've also moved unique glory playlist rewards. So the Mida multi-tool catalyst is now a rare drop on any win in the Crucible. I think that's a great change. That'll be a lot more available for folks who want to get it. Finally, the competitive division. You know, you'll have that division name. It will let you know where you actually sit in the hierarchy of players more accurately than KDA, than win percentage alone, or than any third-party ELO ranking could tell you. This is very cool. I love that this is in the game. All right, now they mentioned that there's going to be a reward for players. This reward comes from the quest that introduces the competitive division. Yeah, it's a good one. Rose is back. All right, so Rose was originally a legendary hand cannon earned during the Lumina exotic quest. Essentially, it was a corrupted hand cannon that was then redeemed. So it was sort of the journey from Thorn to Lumina. And very cool backstory. Encourage you to check out the lore casts that are out there to get insight into that. I'm not going to dive into it here. However, Rose is back. It's no longer a fixed role. It's got random roles and an updated perk pool. And I got to tell you, for hand cannon lovers, this is going to be a big win. Watch out for Rose in Season 19. Here's why I say that. So it fires like a 140. However, it's got the 150 lightweight bonus. Gives you that bonus to mobility. Its stats are going to be a blend of the two, so that should be very interesting. A lot of the lightweight hand cannons had pretty solid stats compared to 140s of the day. We'll see how the stats stack up against the current top statted hand cannons, but if they're even close, given the lightweight movement benefit from the 150 effect that they're talking about here with this hybrid frame, I gotta think this is going to be a strong choice for players for whom movement is the skill gap. This sounds very appealing to me. Going on, making it even more appealing, perk list is built from popular consistency perks designed to highlight 3v3 play. So I read that as this is a dueling hand cannon. This is intended to help you win your 1v1s. Potentially really going to be, I think, a very strong weapon. It's also got randomly rolled grips instead of an origin trait. That's interesting. I don't know what to make of that. We'll have to see what the grips are. Well, you know, what all is in that slot. I'm not entirely sure what that is going to mean. Origin traits are often kind of defining for weapons. So I got to think this is going to be pretty powerful. Now, if these grips are just the straight stat buffs that we often see on grips, that could be a huge difference maker in terms of, you know, if the base stats aren't quite at high-end 140 level, getting the grips might put it there. Just straight-up stat bonuses are huge, especially for a weapon that's intended to be super consistent the way they're talking about in the TWAB here. All right, so this is a weapon. When you complete your competitive division intro quest, which you can do once per character, you get a drop with the perk selection Rose originally had. After the intro quest, you have a character-based weekly competitive division challenge that will reward you with another role. So you can get a new one every week on every single character. Especially if hand cannons get a little bit of love or some other weapons get a little bit of anti-love in the Season 19, you know, weapons balance patch. This sounds cool. This sounds good. I don't know. I've been very positive, I feel like, this whole TWAB. I haven't really had a lot of criticism to say. That's just how I feel about it. Like, I feel like this is just all good stuff that I'm very excited about. All right. So they also share that they, in seasons post-Lightfall, are expecting to get further cosmetic rewards added to the competitive division. They're still working on the details of what you can earn, when you can earn it, and how you can earn it. So we'll just tune back in after Lightfall. Obviously, there's a lot going on between now and then, so I'm not going to sweat that. I'm sure, you know, Now's the time to go. I'll forget about that and we'll come back to it then. But hey, it's good to know cosmetic rewards for competitive vision are on their mind. I'm glad they're working on that. I think it'll really enhance the rewarding experience of climbing those ladders. All right, Guardians, that's all I've got for you this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. This has been episode 284. I've been your host, Ed Kutcha. Just want to remind you, the next couple episodes, you cannot miss them. Please be there. Please be there. Just tune in. You'll see why. All right. Peace.